Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hello, everybody. It's Jake Sanzano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best land author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, this is going to be, I think, a very exciting podcast for me because it took me, I don't know, 20-something years to become an entrepreneur or even understand what an entrepreneur was. It took a long time, 9-to-5 business job. I was creating a job for myself at the restaurant. And then when I started reading Traction, started reading all of his books, I said to myself, this is what we need to be doing. And that's how the Jake and Gino community, you know, just came out of nothing. And I've got a lot of my success due to the gentleman we're going to be podcasting today, who's got a great first name, by the way.
got a great first name. And we better get into inflection points and the different phases of this stuff, but we're going to stop ruining it. Our guest today has always had a focus on helping entrepreneurs like the G-Daddy and myself, helping leaders maximize their freedom and impact. He is the creator of Entrepreneurial Operating Systems, a practical method for helping companies achieve greatness, and has personally delivered more than 1,900 full-day training sessions for more than 135 companies. That's a lot of work. That's getting in the trenches. That's doing the damn thing. So without further ado, Gino Wickman, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, I am thrilled to be here. I'm looking forward to this.
It is our pleasure. We need to get the backstory. So please tell us how you got started in business and how it enabled you to do such great things as you're doing today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right, I'm going to try and give you the lightning fast version because it all starts at 18, but I promise it'll be a fast story. So graduated high school with a solid 2.3 GPA and could not wait to get the hell out of academia. Did not go to college. I wanted to go to work. So as all my friends went off to college, I went to work. I wanted to go make money. I was an entrepreneur in the making. Didn't know it at the time then, but went to work. I actually worked in a machine shop for 3.5 years, saved a bunch of money, and then took my entrepreneurial leap, tried a bunch of stuff, failed horribly, lost all my money, found myself in the real estate industry. So how interesting that that's a little bit of what this is about, obviously. Ultimately, what ended up happening, though, is I ended up taking over a family business that was in the real estate sales training industry. And when I took over the business was in dire need of a turnaround. I felt like I could save it. My dad handed me a check for $100,000 and the keys to the business and said, if you can save it, go ahead and save it, which I did. So I got out of some deep, ugly debt, turned it around 3 years, like I said, ran it for 7 years, got it very healthy and growing again. And then we decided it was time to sell. There were three partners. We each owned a third. And we sold the business. I then stayed on for 1.5 years to transition in the new leadership team out of Virginia, and then retired from the company, and then truly took my entrepreneurial leap, which is what I am doing now. And so through that experience of taking over and running and turning around and selling the family business, I got involved in the entrepreneurs organization, the strategic coach, and I just saw this wonderful big world of entrepreneurs, felt like I could help them, and realized that my calling is helping entrepreneurs get everything they want from their businesses. And so at 31, took a leap to do just that. Over a 21-year period, I created EOS, wrote 7 books, have 140,000 companies using those tools and building great companies. Sold that 4 years ago. I'm still the EOS guy. I still own 12.5% of the company. I still own all the books. But now I'm on to a passion project that is called Entrepreneurial Leap and a book that I launched designed to help entrepreneurs in the making. So anyone who wants to take a leap, start a business, that's what this passion project is all about. And ironically, if I wrote it down correctly, your tagline is creating multifamily entrepreneurs. So hallelujah, we are in the right place hallelujah. At the right time together. So there's the fast version of the story.
First thing I want all the listeners to do, here's the book, Entrepreneur Leap, buy this book. Next one, Traction. If you're looking to scale, this is the Bible. This is where everyone should start. Your quarterly rocks, your level 10 meetings. I mean, the priorities, it's all in here. Rocket Fuel is another amazing book, everybody. Awesome book. And these are for the people out there who don't like to read, like Jake. Get a grip. This is a great
They're on Audible, man. I've been there, okay? I broke EOS down like 10 minutes at a time.
You can't do Traction on Audible, though. That's painful to do on Audible. You got to get
it. I did it twice. All right. Wow. I did it twice.
I'm impressed. All right. Just get a grip. Get a grip, Jake. Get the book. You like, I wore this just for you, bro. I thought you were going to wear yours. We'd be matching today. So listen, real quick, just to define what an entrepreneur really is, because I think people get confused. I thought an entrepreneur was somebody who started a business and they fell in love with the business and that's the end of it.
Love it. Well, happy to. And what I'd love to do is create a little context so that your audience is tracking with us, because we're kind of talking about two worlds of entrepreneurship, if you will. The first world, and what most of the podcast will be about, is the book Entrepreneur Leap, that content, and helping anyone who either is thinking about becoming an entrepreneur and taking a leap or just took their leap, helping them really build a great business and become a great entrepreneur. And so that's that context, somebody taking their leap. The other context is, again, what I've spent 21 years of my life on, and that's creating EOS and writing all those wonderful books that you just shared with the audience. And so that's for an existing entrepreneur. Typically, they have 10 to 250 people, and they're coming to us wanting to grow to the next level. Mm-hmm. And so as we talk about the content, I just want to make sure I anchor it in one or the other as you're asking me questions, because it's certainly all fair game. But to answer your question, now we're going to that entrepreneur in the making side of things, but it applies to both, because what I have discovered after 30 years of obsessing about entrepreneurs and business and what makes them great is that a true entrepreneur has six essential traits that they are born with. And so you either have them or you don't, and they are visionary, passionate, problem solver, driven, and risk taker. And responsible. So those are the six, and you either have them or you don't. And that is my definition of an entrepreneur. And that's what I've seen in the thousands and thousands of entrepreneurs that I've worked with and helped.
Mine was simple. Mine was someone who makes enough money to pay for their mistakes. That was my definition of an entrepreneur in the beginning. I think Tony Robbins said it years and years ago. And I'm like, well, that really checks the box for me. Why don't you talk about the entrepreneurial range from self-employed to true entrepreneur?
Absolutely. And so the entrepreneur range is designed to kind of soften the blow. And so what happens is this book is written in three parts: confirm, glimpse, and path. Mm-hmm. And so before we even get into showing you how to build a great business, we start by first confirming that you have the six essential traits. And so the whole idea is to save lives, because not everyone should take the entrepreneur leap. And you've got to make sure you have these essential traits. And so there's a free assessment you can take on the website. And ultimately, you get a score. And if you score 90 or higher, you probably have these six essential traits and you're an entrepreneur in the making. And if it's lower, you may not. And so please, it's a cautionary tale. I'm trying to save you 10 years of hell. And so let's pretend you do or you don't. The entrepreneurial range that you're talking about, if you picture in your mind, or you can illustrate in front of you if you're sitting there with something to write on. If you illustrate a range, on the right side of the range, if you write the words true entrepreneur, on the left side of the range, if you write the words self-employed. Well, anyone who has their own business is somewhere on the entrepreneurial range. Mm-hmm. Well, people that have the six essential traits, they are on the right side of that range. And if you picture all the way to the right side, people that redline this range, these are the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. Henry Ford, Walt Disney, Elon Musk, Oprah Winfrey, Sarah Blakely, some of the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. Well, on the far left side of the range, these are one person shows, a sole proprietor, somebody with a lifestyle business, somebody that maybe bought a franchise. And so the point in all of that is if you score lower than 90 on the entrepreneur in the making assessment, doesn't mean it's a death sentence and you can't have your own business. It just means that you're probably not on the right end of the range and you're probably not going to build an organization with lots of people, but it doesn't mean you can't go out.
Or you might be miserable.
Yeah, exactly right. So I always like to say, if you're a person with handy skills, you can go out and become a handyman, handy woman, charge $60 an hour, make six figures, and be self-employed and just you. And that's a damn good life and you're free. But if you don't have the six essential traits, you're probably not turning that into a construction company.
The guy that came out to pump my septic a few weeks ago, I think he charged me like $400, and he was the happiest dude. I'm telling you, he had this little FM or AM radio jamming out. He was talking to me. I was like, dude, I got to get to work. And he just wanted to talk. He was living his thing. And that's exactly what you're describing right there. And he was talking about, I'm going on vacation in a few weeks. I'm sure he was making good money, enjoying his life. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think that's important to note.
But Gino, can I ask you a question? When this, you may not be able to answer this, but for myself, when I first started, you know, my self-employment over 30 years ago in the restaurant business, I don't know if I had these essential traits. I don't know if I was the person that I am today. Can you grow into it? I mean, because at the time I was thinking small. I had an immigrant father who was like, you know what? Don't take any risk. You need to live and breathe and die. So I've had like a schism, basically. You know, the first 20 years of my business experience was in the restaurant. And then when I started working with Jake in real estate, I sort of took on a different mindset. Maybe it's a growth mindset. And I went, you know, first 5 or 6 years, we had over 1,500 apartment units, and that became more entrepreneurial. Then we branched off into the education. So I don't want to dampen a lot of people out there that are listening to this thing going, I may not have that. To me, it feels as if I've lived two different lives. Can you grow into that person that you need to become an entrepreneur? Because in the beginning, I don't think I had all of these traits that you have on here.
Yeah, well, here's what I would suggest to you. I'm going to say it a few different ways to really make the point. And so first of all, I'm going to start with the strong belief. And fortunately, most true entrepreneurs agree with me. And that is that you are absolutely born with these traits. They cannot be taught. It is nature over nurture. And let me get through all three points because I'm kind of building on ultimately answering your question. And so assuming that's true, and half the world agrees with me and half the world doesn't, just so you know. And so, and I hope I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, that means 7.5 billion people on the planet can all become entrepreneurs, which I don't buy for a freaking second. Mm-hmm. So that's point one. Point two is these traits can be discovered. And so now I've had these conversations hundreds of times where, you know, if you're growing up in a household with a teacher and an engineer, in other words, people with more conservative professions, they tend to try to protect their children, and they're terrified at the thought of their kids becoming an entrepreneur, just like you described in your parents. They want to protect you. They want you to be safe. They're fearful of you taking risks. And so with the entrepreneurs that literally took them to 25, 30, 35, 40 before they took their leap, they just were raised very conservative and didn't really realize they had these incredible traits. So the point is they can be discovered. And then last point is, for me, I wish I knew this content when I was 18 years old. And it's why I created this content. It's to teach my 18-year-old self, because there's an old saying that says we teach what we needed the most, by Daniel Kennedy. And so I'm teaching my 18-year-old self, because I missed out on 11 years because I was about 29 when I really realized what I was, but I have been exhibiting these traits my whole life. At 18, I did not know what I was. I was lost, confused, scared. I was a mislabeled derelict. Well, I was an entrepreneur in the making, but I just didn't know that. And the world was just telling me there was something wrong with me, when by 29, I realized, holy cow, this is what I am. And it's always been there under the surface brewing. So my belief about you, Gino, is that you, it's always been there. It's always been brewing. And for some reason, you just never really flourished and let your freak flag fly until maybe when
I'm wearing orange. Can I steal the mislabeled derelict and put it up as my profession?
Absolutely. Story of my life.
Hey, Gino, real quick for your next question. If you're out there listening to this right now and you haven't read his content, you have to pick it up, because I think it's so impactful. He was talking about waiting too late in life. I wasn't in my 30s until I discovered this content, and it would have changed my life in a very dramatic fashion sooner if I would have found it in my 20s, because I was in the same boat. You know, poor student. People thought I had like these ADD, whatever problems, and, you know, getting pushed aside, struggled to fit into a big corporation because, you know, I was like this misguided, high energy person. So all these issues that were following me, I didn't understand them, but I was in the wrong seat. And if I would have understood systems and how to structure this stuff better at an earlier age, look, life's been great. I have no complaints, but shit, if I would have found this stuff 10 years earlier, can you imagine? So please, you got to read the stuff, Gino.
Yeah, and on that note, again, like I said, that's why I wrote this. And what I'm hopeful is that young people get a hold of this content. You know, the average age right now for people taking their entrepreneur leap is 40 right now. So everybody thinks it's like 25. It's not. So my point is, hopefully, you know, middle school, high schools, colleges start to embrace this content, which thank God they are. And so far, what I've heard is 8 or 9 years old was the youngest age to comprehend this content. So, man, I hope that this is curriculum for the 4% of the world that are, to realize what they are so they can go on that path. In other words, lots of careers out there. Entrepreneurship is one of them. It is a crazy life. We are borderline crazy, so it's not for everyone, but for the 4%, I want them to find out who they are as soon as possible in life, to your point, so you're not finding out at 35. you know, at 16.
Yep.
Gino, now that I've decided that I fit the box, that I'm an entrepreneur, how do you choose options for a business? You talk about that on the Entrepreneur Elite book.
Yeah, I love it. So again, three parts of the book, confirm, glimpse, path. You're now moving us to the glimpse part of the book. So now we've confirmed that you have the six essential traits. You've taken the assessment. Again, please, it's free on the website, e-leap.com. Go take it. Assuming you score 90 or higher, in showing you a glimpse, now the idea is to show you all that is possible, all of your choices. And what glimpse does is absolutely lights up a person that has these traits. And so what you're asking about is a tool I created called My Biz Match. And what that is, again, all of these tools are free on the website. You go to the website, spend 20 minutes, click a bunch of buttons, out pops the perfect business for you. And so with saying that, I want to start by saying how great that this podcast is focused on creating multifamily entrepreneurs, because like 80% of the work is done for your audience. And so as I come back to that point, I want to start with the big picture context, because all entrepreneurs are not built to build all businesses. We are all drawn to something. We all excel in an area. And so there's three parts to you deciding your ideal business. It's first deciding the industry you're attracted to. I love education. And so for over 30 years, I've been in the education business. That's where I excel. So I've chosen my industry. There are hundreds of industries to choose from. Second is then type of business, choosing the type of business you want to be in within the industry. There are three types of businesses. Number one is either product or service. I'm a service entrepreneur. I have utter disdain for products. That's just me. There's then B2B or B2C. Are you a business to business entrepreneur? Are you a business to consumer entrepreneur? And then last is, are you high price, low volume, high value, or low price, high volume, commodity based? And then the third is size. How big do you want to build your business? $1 billion, $1 million, 10 people, 100,000 people. You have a choice is the point. And we're not all built to build the same thing. And so for me, I know education, service-based, business to business. I'm masterful at selling to CEOs. I want to be the highest freaking price in town, the highest value. And 100, 200 people is big enough for me. I don't want a 1,000-person organization. It's not fun to me. And so what that tool helps you do is decide the right business for you. We are all different. And to the degree you know what you're built for, odds will soar that you will build a better business, be more successful.
Real quick, Jake, before you jump in, I just want to mention the book Small Giants by Bo Burlingham. That's another fantastic book that we were able to podcast Bo a few weeks back on the Jake and Gino channel. And Jake and I were struggling with this. We're just similar to Gino Wickman out there. We don't want to take down 3,000 units a year. We don't want to have 15,000 employees. We want to be a small giant. We want to have culture. We want to have core values permeate throughout the industry. I want to have a family business where I know all of my employees and I can impact them and create wealth for them. And that's just what Jake and Gino want. So for you out there, if you're stuck, because we're all taught that you need to be the next Facebook or the next Uber or the next Airbnb, you don't have to be that. You can be whatever size you want to choose and however you want to impact life. And I think that's important. That book really reaffirmed what Jake and I were doing. We don't want to syndicate deals. We don't want to raise capital. We don't need to. If that choice comes down, we will. But right at this point in time, we feel comfortable with what we're doing. And Bo's book really helped us out.
It's so in alignment, Gino. It's ridiculous, because it was the size comment that he was making at the end there. And I think that's an important thing to evaluate early on, because it's also going to determine what type of market you get into. If you're looking to grow something huge, picking something that is not scalable or doesn't have a high demand, it's going to make your life miserable. And so I think there's the old Steve Jobs quote that if you find your passion, you'll never work a day in your life. Or if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And I just love discussing this, because really, I like real estate. I think it's great. I love the people that we work with. I love what we're doing in the sense that we're building something and we're getting damn good at it. So I just challenge people to watch out for the follow your passion and taking it to extremes, because I know there's like funny Gary Vee stuff like, oh, if you like Pokemon cards, become a Pokemon trader. Man, I think that's going to be really possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's going to be hard. Like for me, I like baseball cards growing up. I don't want anything to do with that. I got into personal training out of college because I played sports my whole life. Absolutely miserable. People were whining, blah, 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 blah. I hated it. So careful with that. Because I think the fun for me in business is finding excellence, getting damn good at something that's scalable, that can provide the life and the competitive itch that I have to scratch over here as well. So just coming from like a psychological perspective, when you're evaluating this stuff, don't take the passion stuff too literally. If, you know, you may be a competitive person looking to do more, because I think it could trip you up. That's all I got to say about that.
I like that, Jake. Really good. You were going to take the passion question away, but let me ask, Gino, if you can share a couple of stories in the book, whether it's Sam Simon or Steve Karras or Sean Stafford, do you want to pick up a couple of stories that you can share with the listeners?
Yeah, you know, what's tricky about that, you know, I'll roll through one really fast is, let me start with the context on that, because you're still in Glimpse. And what I do in Glimpse is I just share a bunch of real world stories, just so you, the entrepreneur in the making that now knows you are, you can just see examples of how people were right where you were and how they built what they built. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you mentioned Sam Simon. Sam Simon's an incredible story, an immigrant from Iraq. His family moved here at a young age. They lived in the basement of a church. They all of a sudden, they saw an ice machine in a gas station, a friend's gas station that they were working at. They're helping their friend. They see ice and they think, let's go into the ice business. They became the largest ice company in Southeast Michigan. From there, they sold that, bought a gas station, and then bought a bunch of gas stations. Shoot forward in time, ultimately, Sam, at 16 years old, I think they had 20 gas stations. He was managing like 20, 30, 50 people. I can't remember the exact number at 16 years old. Then all of a sudden, he decided to get into oil, gas and oil distribution, and ultimately built a billion-dollar empire from ice. So the point in that is, you're just watching a story of an entrepreneur in the making and those six essential traits right before your eyes, and how you just naturally evolve toward building what you want to build. And so again, there are just countless stories like that. So hopefully that gives you a sense of what you were hoping to accomplish with that question.
Yeah, I love that. And there's another question here that I want to ask before we go to the short answers. You have disciplines to increase your odds of success. There's a lot of them here. So if you want to go through a few of them, I can read them off to you, because I think they're excellent. I think everyone needs to have them. The first one you have here is to clarify your vision. And I think we touched upon that about a little bit about what you're talking about with size, with what you want to accomplish, what market. You want to touch upon that anymore, the clarifying the vision?
Yeah, well, the idea here is these are disciplines, okay? Mm-hmm. And so one of the common mistakes an entrepreneur in the making makes is they don't have a vision. And so the discipline right out of the chute, this is number one you're talking about, is you've got to have your vision. You got to get your vision out of your head and on paper. You owe it to your customers and clients. You owe it to your vendors. You owe it to your employees. You've got to have a vision. And so I created a very simple tool that helps you do that. Again, every time I reference a tool, it's on the website, e-leap.com. This one is called My Vision Clarifier. And it just takes you through eight aspects of a vision when launching a new company. So again, this is in that context of entrepreneurs in the making. Mm-hmm. And so it's getting you clear on things like, what is your passion and why for launching this business? What are your customers' needs? Who is your ideal customer? What is your pricing model? What's the 10-year goal, the 3-year plan, the 1-year plan, and then the next 90 days? And so the idea is just to get that entrepreneur in the making, that visionary type mind, to get it on paper, because it's very hard for them to do, because they see it in their head and they just go forward every day. But that's not fair to all of the people around you. And so you gotta start by having a clear vision when you launch that business. Again, your odds will soar that you'll succeed.
I have the next one. I don't know why I wrote this down, partners with a question mark. Are you looking to see if there's partners in this vision of yours?
Yeah, and this discipline is called decide if you're a partner person, okay? Mm-hmm. And so there's two types of entrepreneurs in the world. Ones that should have partners and ones that should never have partners. And there's no bad answer. They're both okay. So I could tell you horror stories about a person who should never have a partner that had partners, and how they had to unwind those relationships 5 and 10 years in. And then the partner person that tried to go it alone and failed horribly because they need a partner. And so first thing you have to do is decide which one you are, and know that it's not bad or good, either one. All that matters, this is that point about know yourself, be yourself fully. And so know which one it is. And now if you're a partner person, there's two types of partner people. There's the partner person that must always have controlling interests. They still need to make the final say, but they're comfortable giving equity to others. And then the second type is the partner person that wants equal equity with their partners. If there's two of you, it's 50-50, three, third, third, the third, four, quarter, quarter, quarter. But that's a person that needs to have a partner and wants somebody shoulder to shoulder making decisions together with them. And so the point is to decide now so you don't make a mistake as you launch your business, either with a partner and you're not a partner person, or somewhere along the way you bring in a partner when you don't have a partner person, or you went it alone when you really should have had a partner. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that makes sense.
I love that. The next one is really obvious to us right now, but when you're first starting out, bigger problem solved, more money.
Yeah. And so I like to simplify this one by saying you cut a lawn, that's worth $25. You put somebody on Mars, that's worth $25 billion. And so somewhere between those two pieces of value at the end of the world. So you have to understand if you're frustrated because you're not making enough money or people aren't paying you enough, you're just not adding enough value. And so the bigger the problem you solve in the world, the more money you're going to get paid. And so me as an EOS implementer, when I'm working with my clients and all of us EOS implementers out there, when we do a session with our client, it's incredibly valuable. And so we're able to charge a very large fee for the day that we're working with that client because we are helping them build a great business that's going to generate a lot of cash flow. That's worth money. That's adding value. And so you'll always find you're getting paid in direct proportion to the value you create and the problem that you're solving in the world.
A little Zig Ziglar in there, Jake. Next one, get feedback from clients and customers. That's an important one that a lot of us don't want to add up to. I'm reading this book from the founder of Hilton. I think he says 98% of the customers are amazing. You got the 2% that are just, you cannot make them happy. So listen to everybody and just, you have to get that feedback. And not all feedback is valuable. The 2% is not, but you still need to get it, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And the point here is when you decide on the service you're going to bring to the world or the product that you've created to bring to the world, need to get feedback from your customers and clients. And that is typically them paying for it. And so what a typical entrepreneur in the making does is they spend all their time in the lab trying to get it right. They're asking their brother, sister, mother, dad, friend, neighbor for feedback, people that aren't going to pay them a penny for this stuff when that's going to accomplish nothing. And so the sooner you can put your product or service out to the world and see if somebody will pay you for it and then ask them what they think about it, that's what's going to move you forward faster. These are disciplines for helping you succeed faster. And not only the first, second, and third time you sell the product, it's year one, year two, year 10, year 20. You've got to constantly keep getting feedback from your customers and clients so that you are staying cutting edge, providing maximum value. You'll stay in business forever if you do that very simple discipline.
Simply put, profit is just applause from your customers. That's basically all it is, everybody. The next one, we can lump them together. Have a plan B and work hard. Work hard is very simple. You can work the 4-hour work week when you've been doing this for 20 years, but not when you're starting out. You know, like you have the book Rocket Fuel. It really takes a lot to get that rocket off the ground. So the beginning is really working hard and having that plan B.
Yeah. And so they are actually very different from each other. And so I'll separate them in answering this question. And I'll start with the plan B. And so I jokingly say, have a plan B, C, and D. You don't have to go all the way to D, but C ain't bad. The mm-hmm. point in this is the plan that you launch your business with will not be the plan you will end up with. It's going to change. And it's going to change somewhere between week one of launch and year 10. But it's going to change. Statistically, it's going to change. And so it's being prepared and not being surprised and not falling in love with your plan. So that's what most people do. They love the plan that they created and they're so rigid and inflexible, they just literally slowly go out of business because they're unwilling to change it. It's going to change. Be ready with a plan B and ideally C. Work hard means whatever time you decide you're going to commit to the business, you've got to work your ass off. You've got to be obsessed. You got to be focused. You got to work hard. And so I'm a pretty balanced person. I took an August sabbatical every year for 21 years building EOS worldwide. But when I worked my ass off. I'm very focused. I'm very obsessed. So you got to work hard. Nothing is ever going to replace working hard. And so if you think there's an easy way to do it, I've yet to find an easy business. So they're all hard to build and you got to plan on working hard. If you don't have that essential trait, sadly, you're probably not going to succeed.
Take criticism with a grain of salt.
Yes, this is one of my favorite ones. And so this is, as you go forward, you must get feedback. But know that a lot of the feedback is going to be terrible, and a lot of it is going to be critical. And if you let that hurt you, drain you, knock you off kilter, that's dangerous. But also, if you take the bad advice, that could potentially put you out of business. And so you got to take it all with a grain of salt. I always like to say, if you read 100 books on business and applied everything from all 100 books, you'd be out of business in a month. And so your job is to read those 100 books and glean what you feel is right for your vision, your core values, your culture, your plan, your goals. Point one. Point two is a fun little story I like to tell about a very well-known entrepreneur from the 50s, whose name I will not state because I've heard the story and I can't validate that it's from him, but I've heard it's from him. And so what he did is he formed a board of 10 intelligent people. These were really intelligent people. And he would bounce all of his ideas off his board of 10 intelligent people. And when he would present an idea and 8 hated it, he knew it was a winner. And when 10 out of 10 hated it, he knew it was revolutionary. So the point is, people are gonna, you know, your family members, they're trying to protect you. So sometimes they're trying to stop you from moving forward and doing things. You will have people that will tell you you can't do it. When I told people I was going to build with EOS Worldwide, they thought I was crazy. 31 publishers turned down traction. They said it will never sell. So you're going to hear criticism and doubt from lots of people, and you just got to take it all with a grain of salt. Most advice is bad advice, just for the record.
Love that. And the last one, before we go to the short answers, see it every night.
Yeah, and that is just really simple. So there's a great audio. You can find it on YouTube. Earl Nightingale's The Strangest Secret, like the classic original motivator from the 50s. It was an LP he recorded. But the point is, when your head hits the pillow every night, whatever that 10-year goal is, just see it every night in vivid color where you can see it, feel it, taste it, touch it. And if you will do that every night, odds will soar that it will become a reality. There are universal laws that kick in that we cannot explain, but it absolutely gets you there faster.
Going woo on us, Gino. He's woo, going woo. Woo. Put the woo on him. Oh, I just wish this stuff was in college. I think it would make such a huge impact on folks. Not for everybody. But
I've got 3 universities that are now teaching this in their curriculum. So I hope that's the first of many, many, many.
Shoot them offline, because if my kids ever get to go to school, they're going there. We'll see what happens. All right, guys. Let's take a quick time out here from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary 3-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we are back. I'm going to go off the cuff a little bit. Do you have any phases for the entrepreneurial journey? Is it a dollar amount inflection point? Is it 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 100? Or are there, you know, like employee inflection points, the number of employees, and then corresponding actions? I was just, you know, thinking before the show and just wanted to kind of, you know, pick your brain on that a little bit and see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of insights around that, but yeah, I've looked at all the different models, and there are absolutely models. They tie it, they say at a revenue point, you're going to hit a ceiling. At an employee point, you're going to hit a ceiling. Different levels of complexity. And I have not found one universal one, because
not enough consistency.
Yeah, Yeah, every industry is so different, you know? And so a $1 billion distribution company that's making a 1% profit and a $10 million service company that's making a 60% profit, you know, damn near same bottom line. All that said, here, there's two things that I found for what this is worth. I have found that there is something magical about 10 employees. Okay. There's something about when you start your business and you get to your ninth employee, you can still keep your arms around all of it. And through brute strength and sheer will, you can hold all that together. But when you hit the 10th employee, the 10th ball of energy in your organization, everything starts to get complex and rattle loose. And ironically, that's why I created EOS for a 10 to 250 person company. And so I find 10 to 250 is a small business where you can remain scrappy and entrepreneurial. So if you're out there growing your business and you're closing in on 10 employees, it's going to get overwhelming, complex, and you're going to start to hit a ceiling right around 10 employees. Then I find the same thing around 250, because at 250 and beyond, it's rare that an organization can stay entrepreneurial, scrappy, fast moving. Many do, most don't. And so those are the two that I've observed in the real world. And then from 0 to 9, best way I can describe that is that's just sheer hell. So that is just scrappy startup. There's what I walk the reader through in this book are the stages, the disciplines, the awarenesses. I believe I can eliminate half the mistakes a startup is going to make. And I believe I can get them to that 10th employee twice as fast. But in that startup phase, the plan is constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. You have to have superhuman strength and energy to survive the startup phase. And so there's not like a stage in there. I'm just preparing the world that it's scrappy, hard, scary, fun, but it's just a wild and crazy period. So that's why I purposely stay out of helping startups. I'm not emotionally strong enough.
I don't think people know what's coming though. Like I got into, you know, our business and had no fucking clue what was coming. And then I don't even think I really understood the word system until we were like 20 employees into it or what the hell they were talking about.
Exactly. And on that point, that's why in Path in this book, I paint the picture for you so clearly what you're getting yourself into. Now, you're only going to listen to half of what I'm telling you. That's just human nature, especially if the 6 essential traits, but you're exactly right, because half of it you have to figure it out real time. There, if anyone's trying to show you the way to grow from 0 to 9 in this perfect linear fashion, they're lying to you, because you are literally making it up every month as you grow to that 9th employee.
20 to 40 was real pain for us because we didn't try to do systems before that. So it was just, I would go around to all the offices. It was intense presence, just working your ass off, you know, to your point earlier. But then 20 to 40 was like, holy shit, no, we have to figure this out and put these different systems in place to make it work, then be able to follow up with the systems, then make sure the customers are happy, make sure the money's there, make sure we're following up on the reporting, blah, 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 and down. And it was like, this shit's overwhelming. When's it going to stop?
Yeah.
Until you bring enough people in to help you and give them roles and responsibilities to make sure those positions are covered.
Yeah.
So that was insane, because then also I'm worried about the expense creep and I don't want to, you know, put another person in, because I'm like, oh my God, we're not going to make any money anymore. So this whole evolution that you just don't see coming just hits you in the face. Yeah. You freak out for about, you know, 2 years, you find a gentleman like yourself, you figure out, okay, we can get this shit together. You put the roles and disciplines into place. And then from, you know, 40 to we're in our 60s now has been a much more enjoyable experience. And a lot of it's, oh, we need a system and a person to do that. We've done this before. Not that big of a deal. Let's get the right people on. Let's get recruiting. So it's been a wild ride. But yeah, those first few years can be absolutely wild for sure. So, okay. So pretty much a lot of different things out there, but 0 to 10, hold on for your life. And if you can get past it, we're going to give you a call, right? Is that kind of what we're saying?
Exactly. Then we're in that other context, EOS and traction, where, yep, you got it. Now we're going to show you a system to run that 10 to 250 person company like a Swiss watch.
But there's such a good niche for your new book, though, because I think you're preparing people for what I just described. And it's coming. If you're going to step out into this world, you know, this is going to help you prepare for the next step. So on the personal side of things, any habits or rituals that you've done that have, you know, helped you out from a success standpoint?
Yeah, for sure. I'll try not to go too far into this. I just launched.
He's going woo on us again, Gino. He's going woo. Well,
there's some woo in what I'm about to share with you. Half is woo and half is very practical. But there's some new content I launched. It's called 10 Disciplines for Managing and Maximizing Your Energy. And that's certainly not what this podcast is about. But that is a mini book I added in the back of a book I released called The EOS Life. And then this mini book I'm talking about is a free ebook on the website, the10disciplines.com, and it's the number 1010. And so what these disciplines are is 2 years ago, I got very vulnerable and I just decided in a talk I was delivering, it was new content. I said, you know what? I'm going to just share with this audience the 10 disciplines I've lived by for over 20 years that have an incredible impact on my life and have literally 10x'd my energy. Everybody's always talking about, you know, how do I have so much energy? Where do I get my energy from? Well, it's these 10 disciplines. So, you know, I'll give you a couple, okay? Because obviously we don't have time for all 10, but one is simply 10-year thinking. And we touched on it here. And ironically, it's one of the chapters in the Entrepreneur Elite book because it's so powerful. But if you will shift your mindset to 10-year thinking in 10-year timeframes and getting out of the now thinking, it's incredibly powerful because what happens for you is time slows down. And so I learned this at 35 years old. And the second I did, so this is 19 years ago, time slowed down. There's a calm that came over me. I started making better decisions. And ironically, I got there faster. And so there's an old saying that says, we overestimate what we can accomplish in a year, but we underestimate what we can accomplish in 10 years. So as Les Brown said, all you need is a good decade. And so shifting your mind to 10-year thinking and make every decision today in a 10-year timeframe, you'll make better decisions, you'll get there faster, you're calmed down, and your energy goes through the roof. And so that's one example. And then—
Can I comment on that real quick?
Yeah, please, please.
Because we get a lot, you know, a decent amount of younger folks in the organization. And I think the thing they struggle with, especially the ones that are wanting to grow and invest and do all that, is they struggle with the get there-itis. And we try to stress this long-termism, but it's very hard to take a mid-20s, late 30-year-old guy specifically who's probably jacked up on, you know, hormones and things like that and wants to be successful to say, dude, look out 10 years from now and how many, you know, doors or how many multifamily units do you want to have by then? Do the work, reverse engineer it, and build it. That's a challenge for folks to absorb. Any way to help them get over that because it's a mindset shift. So how do you get them there?
Exactly. Well, just as we're talking about, so literally all the words I just said starts to open their mind. And what I call this chapter in the book, it's 10-year thinking, but what I talk about is take action, but be patient. And one of the other things I say to them is, you know, let's start with a 55-year-old person, okay? By all measures, a 55-year-old has 3 good decades left. I mean, you could build 3 empires. At 55 years old, you've got 3 decades left. So now let's talk to the 25-year-old. The 25-year-old has 6 good decades left. They could literally build 6 empires. And so just helping them understand the perspective, because the 25-year-old, almost all they can see is tomorrow. And so we're just trying to get their mind open.
And the guy on Instagram who bought the Ferrari and the Rolex, and they don't have any.
Right, exactly.
That's all they're focused on. You know?
Exactly. And so with that, if we can just get them to start to realize this thinking, in worst case, start by getting them to think a year out. And then 5 years out and get to 10 years, you know, again, I was blessed to learn it at 35. So I got there. I don't know if I could have at 25, but who knows, because I didn't have this content then. So it's just starting to build that muscle. And the more they think about it, the more awareness we create, they start to expand that time horizon. And ironically, again, when they look at it and realize, wow, I've got 6 decades, they will build and create more by 35, 45, and 55 than they would the way that they're thinking now.
You know, come on. I don't want to speak it because I know you got something to say.
I've got a lot to say about the topic. We actually partnered with a gentleman. We created a 100-year real estate investor.
Love it.
He takes it. My partner, Rick Sapio, takes it to the 100 years. And what do we do with the company? We sell whole life insurance. And everyone says whole life is a terrible investment. First of all, it's not an investment. Second of all, it's a mindset. You're preparing yourself for the future. You're not going to make money today, but it is a plan for the future. And that's what people fail to understand. It's a tool in the toolbox, and people don't know how to utilize that tool. And listen, we had Dr. Peter Lindemann on the podcast about 6 months ago discussing that. You buy a deal in the process of a decade. Are you willing to hold a deal for at least 10 years? You're going to have 2 really good years in a decade, 2 really bad years, and 6 so-so years. So if you look at it from that perspective, when you're analyzing deals and trying to buy deals in real estate, look at it from that perspective, from that long-term mindset.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and then I'll throw 2 more at you, 1 woo-woo and 1 very practical, okay? And I'll give them both to you really fast. So another discipline of the 10 disciplines for managing and maximizing your energy is be still, okay? And so be still means you take 10 to 30 minutes every single day, typically in the morning, whatever works for you, and you be still. So for people, it's all different. It's meditation, it's prayer, it's contemplation, it's journaling. But if you will just commit to that discipline, your energy will go through the roof, your creativity, your patience, etc. And then the practical one, another discipline, is prepare every night. And what this means is that before your head hits the pillow, you must have documented tomorrow's plan. And so that is where you sit down in chronological order, you lay out tomorrow everything you've got to get done from the second you wake up till the second you go to sleep, your meetings, your appointments, your calls, your projects. And by doing that, you sleep better. Your subconscious goes to work. You wake up with ideas and you hit the ground running. And again, your energy goes through the roof and you're much more productive. And the person that says, oh, I like to wake up and have the day come at me, bullshit. I will outproduce you every day of the week if you just start checking emails. And so there's 1 woo-woo and 1 practical discipline.
No, I think they're both practical. And I'm going to put a cherry or a life hack on the check it before you go to bed. So I plan every Sunday. I spend 1 to 2 hours planning out my week, even though it's on the Google Calendar. And then on top of it, I write it down on cardstock and it stays with me for the week. There's some benefit to it. I've been doing it for, I don't know, 10, 15 years now. It's probably been the best discipline that I've done in my entire life.
And but by what the way, I write mine on my legal pad. Everything's on my trusty legal pad, just like your cardstock.
But I do it Sunday mornings, so it's with me the whole week. So if I put in a 12-hour day, I'm getting my ass kicked, whatever. All I got to do is look at it. Oh, bing, 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 bong. That's what's going on the next day. It's in the subconscious, and I'm ready to go. So it works really well, because you might get to the end of the day and be like, shit, I'm tired, or we got to go out to dinner, or whatever the case may be. So it takes a minute to write it down. Prepare. Get your ass going Sunday. It's with you for the rest of the week. I got a few more, but we're getting long. One more. Here we go. Misguided derelict to successful entrepreneur. Describe the payoff, because I was talking a lot about the pain, but what is being a successful entrepreneur done for your life on a personal level?
Well, you know, I'll say a couple of things, because if you truly have these 6 essential traits, you are a driven person, and it is a blessing and a curse. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so sadly, for those that don't know how to manage drive, it isn't very rewarding, because you achieve that success and then you want more. So I'm a bit blessed to have learned how to control my drive. So I want to separate the two, because, you know, for almost 40 years now, I've been driving, being successful, creating, and almost like never satisfied. I learned how to control that and kind of celebrate the successes now. So it's incredibly rewarding and satisfying to look back, but I'm most of the time looking forward. In other words, I'm sitting here at 54. I plan on being around to at least 100. I've got 4.5 good decades left. Worst case, if I live to the normal lifespan, then 82, I'll kick the bucket. But to me, it has given me confidence. I see the opportunities in the world, and I look forward to capitalizing on those opportunities, which the root of all of it is to help people. In other words, I am here to help human beings, typically entrepreneurial leaders, gain absolute freedom, make a huge impact on the world, and fully express their creativity. And so for me, again, looking back, it's a confidence that I can do it. It's certainly a satisfaction that I've done it, but I've accomplished 10% of what I intend to and hope to accomplish. And worst case, if I don't, It was a pretty damn good journey. Best way I can answer your question.
How about the freedom aspect of it and choosing your own path? Because that's what really kind of lights my fire personally. You have anything to say on that?
And are you asking me to expand on what freedom means? Is that what you're saying?
No. How important it is to you, because I think there's some similarities probably between the two of us. And I'm guessing if you were in a cube or in a box and, you know, asked to do things, I just have a feeling that would be an issue for you.
It would be an extreme issue. So yeah, freedom. I live for freedom. You know, I design my life for freedom, and that's all forms of freedom: relationship freedom, financial freedom, time freedom, creative freedom, soul freedom. So yeah, I am all about freedom. So I want to control my time, my energy, my everything. And I don't want anybody to control that for me. So yeah, freedom is a very emotional word for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, Gino's going to wrap here, but give us the resources one more time where we can get the multitudes of, man, I don't know, trainings, books, personality assessments. You hit us with about 50. So where can we get the resources?
I know. Well, here, I'll simplify it. Okay. I'll simplify it and then I'll offer up a couple of things. So the epicenter of everything I'm working on, there's five major pieces of content that I have put out to the world. And you can find all of that at GinoWickman.com. So that's the epicenter of all that content, all those books. What we've talked about 80% of this podcast, though, is Entrepreneurial Leap. And so that is e-leap.com. You can get there through GinoWickman.com. But I just want to speak to e-leap.com because this is most of your audience. And so for anybody that is thinking of taking the Entrepreneur Leap or has just taken the Entrepreneur Leap and you're in startup phase, this is the book for you to confirm that you are, show you a glimpse and a path and a whole bunch of free tools. That's where the assessment is. And then to take it one step further, for anyone out there that loves the content we're talking about and wants to teach it to the world, click on the Become a Collaborator button on the website, because what I'm doing is giving my content away to collaborators that want to teach this stuff. And so even with you guys, with your audience, please teach everything in this book freely. Become a collaborator. I want this message to get to the world. I can't do it alone. And you don't have to pay me anything. We don't sign any agreements. I just want you to teach it to the world. So click on the collaborator button if anyone out there wants to teach this content to the world and help entrepreneurs in the making and mentor them and teach them. And that's what I would share.
All right, Gino, you're up.
Gino Wickman, 2.3 GPA student in high school. He's lost. What do I do? College is not
least
really for me.
Least likely to succeed.
And I think the turning point, for what I was hearing correctly, is at 35 years of age, he decided the long-termism, decided that building a business is what he wanted to do. And I love, this is Gino's, I think I came up with his slogan for the Entrepreneur Leap. Eliminate 50% of your mistakes while getting you there twice as fast.
Hallelujah.
And that is the slogan, everybody. I don't want to call it a promise, but if you read this book, especially if you're younger and you don't know what path you're on, this will give you clarity. And it's really good if you're not meant to be an entrepreneur. Hey, you just save 10 or 15 or 20 years of your life and hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if you decide to become an entrepreneur, he can and he will help you eliminate 50% of your mistakes and get you there twice as fast, Jake.
Hey, there we go. I'm Jake. He's Gino and he's Gino. And we had an awesome time today. Thank you, gentlemen. See you next time.
Thanks, Gino.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.